Lord, here this beautiful Sunday morning, we worship you because we know you're right here with us, Lord. We acknowledge you here this morning because we know that you are here, Lord. And I pray right now, Lord, Father God, that every man, every woman, every young adult, and all those viewing online come to the realization, Lord Father God, that you are with us, not only in your temple, but wherever we go, Lord, that you should be acknowledged. Touch us here this day, Lord. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here on this beautiful Sunday morning. Amen. You may have your seats here this morning. Worship team, you may have your seats as well. I want to welcome all of you all that are here this morning. Amen. It always excites the pastor to see new faces, those that haven't been here lately, and those that have been faithful for many, many years that have come alongside me to keep these doors open for lives to be transformed and saved. Amen. So it's a good time to be saved. Tell your neighbor, it's a good time to be saved right now. Amen. So we just came back yesterday from Chicago. It was a real powerful time there. Pastor Felipe and Pastor Williams brought the word, and I want to give a shout out to Marco, our lead usher here, our head usher in the church, amen. Along with the usher team were used up there in Chicago, amen. They did a great job, did a really, really good job, amen. So real excited about that, and also about the movie. It's a movie that we're going to be watching today at 6 p.m. this evening. It's a movie based on our founder, on Pastor Sonny. So it's a picture that the ministry made as well. Amen. So it'll be. I haven't seen it. I've seen clips of it, but I haven't watched it all through. I've seen clips of the movie when it was being promoted. Amen. So I'm going to be here. I know my wife is going to be here, and it'll just be a good time for us to come together and grow, amen, as the many parts that makes up the body of the Lord. This morning, the title of the message is, it's a question. Are you all in? Are you all in? At times, it might feel like the wrong question to ask in church. But when we were out there, and that question would be asked, was, heck yeah, I'm all in. I'm all in. But then it's the same people that were all in out there are the same people now in the church. And why is it that everybody now saved in their right minds, blessed of God, would not want to be all in? So the title of this morning's message is, Are You All In? This month, maybe even going into the next month, we're going to be talking about getting committed to the church, to the ministries that make up the church. We have the ushers, amen, the children's ministry downstairs right now. A lot of things take place for you all to walk in and comfortably be able to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. A lot of things take place. There's a lot of spinning plates, amen. And we have people right now within a leadership that is doing, you know, two or three ministries to make everything fly, amen, for you to come in and enjoy the service. Amen. So we're looking for other capable and willing men and women and even young adults, amen, to be part of the service, amen, and doing your part so that we can specialize at a greater you know, altitude in where I can have leadership running one ministry instead of multiple ministries. Amen. That we'd be able to give 100% to one area, you know, all around the church. So I challenge you here this day. I've been talking with people on the phone that says they're ready. Amen. New people beyond what are already being used right now in the church. When I see this picture, I always get other looks besides the one you see. You probably see Jesus and two criminals on each side of him, and that is correct. That's biblically correct right there. Amen. A few soldiers, amen. Sadducees, Pharisees, a few of the followers of the Lord. I know I can't see her face maybe, but I know his mother's there somewhere in that crowd. So as I see this picture here, one thing that stands out to me is Jesus. See, Jesus should stand out in your life. Even when there's criminals, amen, all in this world right now, as this world's getting darker, Jesus should stand out nevertheless in your life. So when I look at this picture, Jesus stands out. He's on the cross, and to me that represents he's all in. So when I see the picture, and you can probably see, Scripture says that this, by the spreading of his arm, is how much he loved us. Scripture tells us. So we see through this picture that Jesus is all in. He struggled in the garden with the plan of the Father, but nevertheless he said, not my will, but thy will be done, because he was all in. Because you're all in don't mean you ain't going to have struggles within your life. You're going to have a lot of struggles in your life, whether you're all in or not. There's no way around the struggles. You're going to have them. So once again, we see Jesus, and he's all in. All in with the purpose of a bunch of sinners like you and I. Obedience to the Father. And then I see the two criminals there. And I also see two criminals in the same posture of Jesus. And I even see the two criminals on each side of him. And I see that they're all in. They're all in also. But they're all in from making bad choices. Jesus was all in voluntarily, amen. They didn't put him on the cross. Obedience put him on the cross. It was part of the plan of the Father. Jesus was in and on and hanging on the cross by choice. The criminals on each side of him were all in also by making bad choices. So the question would be, how are you all in this morning? I believe even the crowd there that day were all in. The soldiers were there to make sure the job got done. They were all in. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were all, they made sure they were there. They were all in. They were all in. And I believe all those others besides the two criminals and Jesus, even though they weren't on a cross hanging, they were all in. not only heaven is for people that are all in, but even hell is for people that are all in. Simple thoughts. You know why? Because the Lord wants to give us eternal life. That means all in forever and ever and ever. But the enemy also offers eternal life, but in hell. All in forever and ever and ever in hell. No, I don't want to speak about hell, but hell's a real place. How are you this morning, all in? Are you all in being bummed out here this day? When a great price has been paid for you to have full victory? When a Jesus that was all in was for you to have victory here this day. Gordo, straighten up. Straighten up. Your dad would give me permission to tell you to straighten up. Thank you. His dad ain't here right now. His spiritual dad's here right now, and I love you. You know that. You can be young and be all in. See, here this morning, God is looking for people that are all in. But he ain't the only one looking. That day when he came to Job, that Satan was, you know, just checking it out to and fro, just checking it out. The enemy, too, is recruiting here this day and looking for people that are all in. That's why gang members are right now strategizing murder. Because they're all in. Drug addicts shooting dope right now, not wanting to die, but dying. The Pharisees and the Sadducees there were all in. God has created a people that is all in. And I believe a lot of us here this day and viewing online have experienced the things of the world and what it is to be all in. And what we got back in return from being all in the things of the world. So I opened up with one scripture, and that's all I want to touch on today. One scripture. I believe God knows who he has at church this day and viewing online. It's a people that are all in. And I pray by the end of the service that it would be a people by choice that would be all in for the Lord. Let's give the Lord a good clap out for an amen. Money don't make you all in. We found that out Friday service. The Lord spoke, and he's speaking already again. Money can't bring joy. The rich man walked away, a sad man. Money can't take care of everything. The rich man lacked one thing. And money can't take you to heaven. That's why the rich man went to Jesus on that day. Because even he knew that his money couldn't get him up there, way up in the sky somewhere. He knew it. So here this day, I open up in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. And I'm going to share a little bit about my story to know that I'm with you guys. I'm with you guys, and I understand what it feels like at the real beginning in the things of the Lord. when they're totally backwards from being all in the world. It's like a different manual, a different book, a different guidelines you got to go off of. I get it. The Bible says no one, key word, no one. No one can serve two masters. I want to speak about, are you all in this morning? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot, it says it again, makes it real personal, you cannot tell your neighbor, you cannot. Tell him again, you cannot. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you for this great start, for you are with us and you are speaking already, Lord Father God. And I pray by the end of this service, Lord, that your listeners will be all in to your plan, Lord Father God, even though your plan not only came with the cross for your son, but that your plan also comes with the cross for each and every one of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. Tell your neighbor, and where's your cross at? Tell him you can't. You can't die to self without a cross. You need a cross. Unless you're related to Houdini and here we find that the two masters are God and money. Doesn't say you would think you would say the two masters you're going to serve can't serve two, either one or the. It doesn't say God or Satan. It says God. Put the scripture back up, please. At the real end there, it says you cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. The second master here is money. And I seen people nickel diming it in the street corner like I used to, trying to come up. Where it's not just great money that deceives people, but little money, state money, deceives people and allows it to become their God, their master, waiting for a check. The beginning of the month, halfway through the month, waiting for the mailman. And we all need finances. We all need money. The church does. But there would never be a lack for finances in the church if people would learn to serve God. Amen. And not money. And the truth is, the majority here and even in the world are enslaved to the master of money, even in minimum wage paying jobs, enslaved by a minimum paying job, or enslaved to a job that pays good money. A lot of times we feel we can't give because we have a minimum paying job. I was an instant giver when I got saved, making $4.25 an hour 25 years ago in the state of California, Northern California. That's what the minimum wage was. And look what God has done. The Bible says if you can't be trusted with the little, you can't be trusted with the much. So here we find out that the two masters being spoken about is God and money. It's not the devil. We also find out that no one can serve two masters. I put here in my notes, don't mean that you can't try. And beside that note, I put earlier this morning, for many are there right now trying to serve two masters. Doing it the world's way and doing it God's way. Doing it the world's way and you're doing it God's way. When the Bible says that no one can serve two masters. No one. If you had to do an intake on your life, which way would it lean more heavy to in the master that you are serving? We also find that no one can serve two masters, but I put here, don't mean that you can't try, for many are there right now. I put here, you just won't be successful at it. When I was in the world, I never went to partied all week and never went to church on the week. I never did that. I was all in. But I've learned a lot of people now in Milwaukee can party all week and make it to church. Party, 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 and still make it to church. But got trouble in their lives. Ain't being successful. Struggling. Because they're trying to serve two masters when the Bible clearly says no one can serve two masters. That's why a lot of you are stuck right now. You try to pull it off, but you can't. I'm reading a book right now, and it gave the example of the author of the book that when he got saved, he was a wishy-washy Christian serving two masters for the first 2 years of his salvation. He's a big-time pastor now. He big crowds in Africa, and he goes and gives all these seminars. He's a bad dude. He's a white brother, Caucasian brother. All over the world, got all these books. And he states in his book that for 2 years he was a wishy-washy Christian until he met a couple that had no money but had the joy of the Lord in their lives. And he says, man, I want that. Two people that weren't nobody, they weren't the pastors or anything like that. And when he saw their genuine love for the Lord and one another, he was influenced and says, that's what I want in my life. And he gave us an era where his mom, back in the days, he wrote this book. And I'm well aware of checks. That was one of the reasons I went to prison, just one of the many thousand reasons. But writing insufficient checks, amen? Insufficient funds. There was no money in there. I would always go get almost buy the whole store, and I would walk in with a pretty girl, and we'd be talking about our marriage. We're going to be getting married in the checkout line and stuff, and everybody would be hearing the story. So by the time I paid with the check, they was not even questioned. I had hustle. Oh, I can't wait, I can't wait. And we had like 50 whiskey bottles in the thing going to the connection, looking like it was for the wedding. And I ran that one for a long time. It worked. They didn't even question the check. They thought we were getting all these things for the wedding and stuff. Store after store after store after store after store. So this pastor speaks about writing your name at the bottom of the check is what opens that check up. Amen. And how his mom at times, for him to go to college, would write a $2-3 check, you know, out. And she goes, it's signed. And she, don't lose it. Because she knew that if anybody got that check, amen, that they could put whatever amount they wanted on the top on what mom had in the bank. Amen. It was what you call an open check, but it was signed. And he uses this in the book, amen. And he was saying that it wasn't until 2 years later where he signed the check and he gave it to the Lord. He says, Lord, you put whatever you want at the top. Whatever you want from my life. I'm giving you an open check signed by me. And whatever you want to take from my life, you have my permission. He wrote the Lord an empty check with his signature. I know the youngsters don't even know what a check is. Back in the days, we used checks before the credit cards kicked in. So I'm losing majority of the crowd here. I'll give you a Bible study afterwards what a check is. Amen? But the OGs know what I'm talking about. My story starts off coming out of prison for the second time. Amen. A nobody. I understand what it is to be a nobody that cannot get nothing right. But here, this, after seeing a couple of genuine relationship with the Lord, he left the top blank with regard to what God wants to do. To do what he wants him to do in his life, where he wanted him to go in his life, who he wanted to marry, what career to pursue, what business. And he left the top blank for God to put whatever he wanted to put, he was going to do it. And my story kicks in coming out of prison, like I said, for the second time with an opportunity that only God could give. Nobody trusted. I was on parole. My own mom and dad, my own brother and sisters, the system, nothing was working. I was a nobody being released from prison for the second time in a short time. Ready to go back for the third time. But something happened. I went to a Victor Outreach Church in Salinas, California, 25 years ago. And a message would start and something would start taking place within my life where I knew God had the wrong person. But a lot of people in the church kind of looked like they lived my life, and I knew two or three of them personally that were in there. One was an ex-prostitute. I said, what is she doing here? The other two were dope dealers. And they were with their hands up. They were broken and praising. I was like, what happened to them? At this point, I didn't know a scripture in the Bible. So I was just checking it out. I'm in church. Nothing's going on in my life. And the only opportunity open to my life was the opportunity God had to offer. It was the only opportunity I needed. With an opportunity that only God could give, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And I believe some are here this day and viewing online. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity straight from God is going to be offered to you right now as I'm speaking. Right now as I'm speaking. You may think there's no way out of your situation, but I'm here to let you know that God's going to give you a grace and mercy opportunity here this day. And he's not looking at what you've done wrong and how you've screwed things up. He simply just wants to give a grace and mercy, once in a lifetime opportunity here, this day, even though you don't deserve it. He's here to prove mom and dad right that said nothing would ever come out good out of your life. to prove the system wrong, that you, it's just a matter of time and you're going back, that you would be never able to do anything with your life. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity is going to present itself right now, and I'm going to use my life as the proof that if God did it for me, He can do it for you. While I was in prison, I had a vision. I thought I was tweaking. I thought something was going down, but everybody was asleep, and I slept right under the exit sign, like that. So I was on the second bunk right under the exit, at the real long of a tier of hundreds and hundreds of men. In a 3-to-5 level prison. It don't get no bigger than that. I just had a lot of points. I wasn't a killer. I just never learned my lessons. So I had a lot of points against me in the system. And God would wake me up and start speaking to me. And I knew it was God. I have a prison box of 25 years ago that I haven't looked into in a long time. But I got a letter and I wrote it down with a little sawed-off pencil that they give in there. And I remember I was paralyzed, and but I was just broken. I didn't have a relationship with God. I was raised as, you know, in a Catholic church as an altar boy and stuff, but without relationship with the Lord, I knew it was God. And I told him, God, whatever you want to do, I'll do it. I had about a year left to get out of prison. And I remember all broken and messed up while everybody was asleep. The Lord would awake me in a vision and tell me that I was going to be a pastor and my family was going to forgive me when they hated my guts. They had nothing to do with me. But God wanted something to do with me. And He would have to wake me up to single me out, to allow me to know that it was Him. You know how you hear books or people that have died and gone to heaven or gone to hell and back? And majority of times you don't believe them. This story's real. Your pastor ain't got no reason to lie for 2 seconds to add on to his past life. Because most people, when they talk about they were the biggest dope dealer of mafiosos and scarfaces, when you were all but that. Always wanting to add on who we were in the world. But how about adding on who you are in Jesus? How about the testimony in Jesus? Can you brag? Can you add on to your testimony in the Lord? Is your testimony in the Lord getting stronger and stronger and stronger? Is it growing? Do you have something fresh in you to testify what the Lord has done in your life? How many of you have ever had a God moment? They usually take place when you don't deserve it. So you brush it off as a coincidence, or, you know, your mind wasn't right, or, nah, that's not me. He had the wrong guy. Had the wrong girl. Wrong address. Wrong state. As if God's a God that makes mistakes. We're all at the same address right now. How many of you have ever had a God moment? I'm going to share mine. 2 pivotal moments I had. Amen. Upon coming out of prison, I was sharing with my wife, and she was tripping out because the guy in the book, it was one, he the open check, he says he could be, he had a pretty girlfriend. And he says, if you want her, you can have her. And he did. And then he had a career basketball, in basketball. He was in college to go NBA. And he struggled with that because but this career was put before the Lord. It was an idol. This girl was put before the Lord. She was an idol. And he got to a place 2 years later in his wishy-washy walk with the Lord where he signed the check of his life and allowed the Lord to fill the top with whatever he wanted from his life. And soon after that, the girlfriend had to go. I flash back. I got out of prison, and I was eating at a Burger King with the first job I had with the foreman and another worker and the boss. And the boss says, "Hey, Charlie, see that pretty girl over there? I'm fresh out of prison. 25 years back, guys. Come back. You guys come back." We're eating at Burger King, and he says, he gave me her rap sheet. She's, you know, hasn't been with nobody. She's this. She's a college girl. She's this, is this. And he goes, "Come on, man. Come on, man." Shoot, I had nothing to lose, so I went up there. "Hey," he goes, "get this business card." He gave me his business card. He goes, "Put your number and go give it to her. She's going to call you." So I went up there. I said, "Hey, my name is Charlie here. If you want to call me, give me a call." Well, sure enough, that night, bring, the phone rings. And I found out her name was Magali. Amen? And she was from Mexico. Everything my boss said was on point, man. I said, "This is from God." It was like prophecy. And she's a college girl, and she was a college girl. Amen. Going to be a doctor, was passing with all A's. Somebody had prayed her whole, for all of her college. And enters my wife. I got permission, guys. She just came back in to make sure I tell the story right. And instantly, we were in love overnight. Have you ever fell in love with someone at first sight? And wish you'd never seen that person? Later on down the years. And we fell in love, and I mean, we were in love. I was at her house every day. We fell asleep on the phone like I used to do back in high school days. She took me off my feet. I had only been going to church for a short period of time, but God had already done something deep in my heart. And when I was with her, I would put the Spanish worship music on. And we were in love, and our first date was her coming to church at Victor Avery Salinas there. And I introduced her to the pastor. He goes, "Oh, okay, well, thanks for introducing her, you know." But the next Sunday was going to be the second date, but she didn't want to come to church. She didn't want to come to church. I said, "What do you mean you don't want to come to church?" Amen. I'm a brand new convert. And so I'm sharing stuff for you guys to know. I've been where you're at. And she says, "I don't want to go." I said, "We'll go to your church." She was a Catholic. Most Hispanics are. She goes, "You'll come to my church?" I said, "Yeah." So I remember asking pastor, I said, "Hey, I'm going to not be here this Sunday." And he let me go. I wasn't a leader or nothing yet. I was a very, very young, unpolished Christian. Amen. So we went to the church. It was a little church there in Monterey, California. It's a richly beautiful by Carmel, the coast, the Big Sur there in Northern California. And real little small church. Those guys, you know, on the guitars and harmonizing. All right, well, I haven't seen church yet. So, yeah, it was good. So I called her the next Sunday. And time is going by. And I said, "I'm going to pick you up when you come to church." She goes, "I don't want to go to church." I said, "Man, all right, I'm willing to go to your church again." So she goes, "I don't want to go to my church either." Right? I said, "Oh, man, but she's beautiful." Her hair was about that far off the ground. She had long Mexican hair, amen? Which is a little longer than my wife's hair, amen? And we were madly in love with what we saw love to be at that time. And I remember I was telling my wife how this is the first God moment I had, where we were at a beach there in Monterey at the beach, and on the sand. People were going by skateboarding and all this stuff. We're watching the sun. It was just a beautiful Northern California day. Amen. A good 20 minutes from Grandma's house. And we were listening to the Spanish worship music like we always did. And I said, Magali, I go, if God was to call me to go to Mexico or to Africa in 2 years, would you follow me? And she says, ay, Carlos, my real name is Carlos, translation for Charlie, amen? She goes, I don't know, I love you so much that I can't answer that question, what I would do in 2 years from now. I said, well, if 10 years went by, would you follow me to Mexico or to Africa with already your career and everything? She goes, ay, Carlos, I love you so much. I don't want to lie to you. She was a sweetheart, man. I had to be dumb and dumber to leave her. And when she said she didn't know, at that moment, God hit me over the head with a steel bat. Amen. And I said, you know what, Magali? I'm going to take you home right now. That's it. We're breaking up. You will never call me again. Page me. We had pagers back then. You will never page me no more. Matter of fact, we cannot even be friends. Do you hear me? She goes, Carlos, what's happening to you? Took her home, and I remember it was about a 20-30 minute ride to get back to Salinas, and I'm dying to talk to her on the phone. I was like a cigarette habit, amen? And that drive, I would have her on the phone, and I got through the first day, and then I got through the second day, and the third day, I was like, man, she ain't calling. I thought she would have called by now. She loved me so much. But months and months and months would go by. I didn't call her. She didn't call me. And we were, the way we saw love, madly in love with one another. Then finally, 7-8 months later, she called me. She goes, Carlos? And I said, I knew she was going to call me. And I said, yes, remember the two little bunny rabbits you gave me for my brothers and sisters with the big old cage? I said, yes. And it was good to hear her voice. I said, yes, but I was being stern because we weren't supposed to talk. And she said, well, now they're big old rabbits. One was black and one was white. Amen, America. She goes, can you please come and get them? My brother and sister, at the time they were her little brother and sister, ain't taking care of them no more. And I said, ah, she's trying to catch me in a trap. So I said, I sure will. So I went to my boss's house, got one of his big trucks, because the cage was huge. It just happened to my sister Becky, my blood sister Becky, was with me from San Jose in Salinas that day, and she went with me to Monterey to go pick up the two little big rabbits now. Amen? And I knew where her bedroom was. I knew where she camped out at. And it was the window right next to the front door. And I knock at the door. She thought I was coming solo. That's why being accountable is so important. It's very important. Because not only did she love me, her mother loved me, the kids loved me. And I knocked at the door. She was expecting me. She peeked through the curtain and closed the curtain. I'm expecting her to open the door. She never did. Her mother did. So she saw me with a girl. My sister Becky's very pretty. And she didn't know it was my sister. So we went to the backyard, got the rabbits, put them. And we never, ever have talked again. That was a God moment. I should still be with her, but God intervened. The check was blank at the top. So I gave him Magali. And in return, what he had to give me was my beautiful wife, Marlene, that's been my wife for 24 years in full-time ministry. to the plan and call of God that was upon my life. You cannot just get hooked up with anybody and think they're going to follow you to church past the month or follow you to church in hard times, stick with you in hard times. So God asked for Magali. I gave him Magali. But what he gave me back in return maybe wasn't a doctor. My wife, I think, 9th or 10th grade education from high school. But it was the one that God called to spend the rest of her life with my life and to build this church. You just can't get with anybody and expect to do God's perfect will. It's not that easy. The second encounter would be I got sent out of Salinas about 6 years being in church as a minister. For some, it takes a lot longer to be a qualified minister. I wasn't qualified. Anita Rosa, the pastor, got hit in a bad way here, and I filled in the spot. It was before I was ready, and my wife, but I was faithful enough, amen, where my pastor sent me out here. I had a landscaping business, started off Mickey Mouse business, but then I had some big accounts. I became very knowledgeable in irrigation and running big systems. And I never worked a day in my life. I was a dope dealer since high school. And I remember growing in the field where I was just about to, where I could get workers and get a lot. Landscaping in California is 24/7 all year round. It's not like out here in Milwaukee where turns freezing half of the year. And one day my pastor called me and says, hey, get ready, you're flying out to Milwaukee tomorrow. And I said, where's that? I says, but am I going there for a day? He goes, no, you come back in 2 weeks and pick up your family. I says, what am I doing? He goes, you're going to be the next pastor there. And I said, you got it, pastor. I got a full-blown business at this time. I says, you got it, pastor. I gave the business to one of my best friends that would help me at times. I gave the Lord my landscaping business. And he gave me Milwaukee. Amen. He gave me you. Most guys wouldn't do that. I gave my business. And he gave me his business. But a couple of steps of being with the right person and the timing of God and the obedience to God, Magali, as pretty as she was not an idol that I couldn't give to the Lord. My business, as successful as it was and about to explode, wasn't an idol where I couldn't give it to God to fulfill the plan and the call upon my life. What is it that you're holding on to that's keeping God from wanting to do what he wants to do, not only in your life, but through your life? God was just not my Savior. He was Lord of my life. And the problem of today is that many get saved, but the Lord never becomes Lord of your life, in control of your life. And that's why we're saved, but he never gets the honor or the title of being the Lord of your life, where whatever he says goes, even when it doesn't makes sense. Even though these I put here were just two steps in my walk with the Lord, they were game changers that have kept me for 25 years now. I counsel a lot of subjects. One of the main ones is relationships. And I probably, out of 100%, probably 98% have not listened to me when it comes to following my instructions in the area of courting one another. And there's been really good people. Leadership has done it. Because when the love bug hits, it hits. When it's one of the biggest relationships, second only to the relationship of Christ, that you'll ever take on in this earth in your life, who you end up with. I have a question here this day. What's one important step that God is wanting you to take right now that is plugging what He wants to do in your life and through your life? What's one thing that He wants you to give to Him? It doesn't have to be something bad. It could be something good. I gave Magali. It was a good thing. I gave my business. It was a good thing. It wasn't drugs. A habit? See, sometimes it's easier to give up a habit than a good thing. And I believe here this day, God is looking for something that you love that has become greater than who He is. That has taken the position of being an idol, something that you're putting before the Lord. These are all simple thoughts that the Lord has given me for this day's message. What's one important step that God is wanting you to take right now to change the course of your life along with changing others? Because God don't only want to change and transform. He wants to use us to transform and change others. He wants to use you as an instrument, as a vehicle, as His hands, as an extension of Him, of who He is. You might be thinking right now that you're not ready, and I put on my notes, you never will. It's a step of faith that a lot of times just don't make sense. Why do I got to give up something that's good that I've worked so hard for? Because God has a better plan than the one you've worked so hard for. What is it that God is asking for from your life right now, no matter how old you are or how young you are? You may ask, why is it so important, Pastor, to be all in for Christ? Why is it so important? I put here, it was part of last Sunday's, it's the only way that God can give you His best for you to do your best. It's the only way God can do His best in your life for you to do your best is to take on the grace and mercy opportunity, the once of a lifetime opportunity being presented by Christ Almighty Himself here this day, right now. Why can't I just be a Christian on my terms? Why can't I just be a Christian doing it the way I see it fit, the way I was brought up, or the way my old church used to do it? I'll give you the answer. Why can't you be a Christian on your terms? Because you will always misrepresent who God is. And that's the number one reason I put many reject Jesus today. Because of the misrepresentation that Christians give who He is and what He's able to do, what He's not able to do. That's why we can't follow Christ on our terms. We got to be all in. For he can do his best, and we can do, he can bring out our best, not only for our lives, but the best in the lives of others, which I am doing with all my experience right now in reaching you right now and using my life, a full-blown drug addict, dope dealer, that I allowed God to take over my life as Lord and Savior. I allowed him to do. I allowed him to take what he wanted, because I know what he had to offer was so much greater than what he was taking from my life. Whether it was something bad or whether it was something good, would still not be able to match up what he wanted to give me and what he wanted to do in and through my life. A third thing that happened to me in Salinas prior to Milwaukee, when I first got saved, I gave my life, I put here to the Lord in faith, not knowing what to expect. I was all messed up, coming out of prison, and I gave him my life there at the altar of the church. By faith. By faith. Years and years had gone by. Now I was a leader for many years there in Salinas, Victory Outreach, Salinas, California. I was a director along with my wife of not only the rehab for men, but for women as well. I had been through all the many hardships of ministry. And I found myself making an altar call, broken in the Lord, this time knowing what ministry involved, telling the Lord once again, I once again give you my life, this time knowing the price of following you. This time knowing the price of following you. I would fall before the Lord, and I was going through all these hardships. And the presence of the Lord came down upon me, and I was in a very, very hard place. And God's presence came down upon me like it did in prison. It was once again the same feeling, the same God. And when he broke me in his presence and he was assuring me that he had me, I once again repeated the words that I did while I was in prison, not knowing who he was. Not knowing a scripture. I know this is you, God. Whatever you want, I'll do it. And I found myself there at the altar, now knowing the hardships of ministry, the hardships of following Jesus. And I would once again give him my life again, knowing what ministry entailed. Knowing that I was going to do this now for the rest of my life. And shortly after that, the call would come for me to come to Milwaukee on a SOS crisis, what had taken place here. Twenty-four years later, still married with my wife, still married to Christ, still married to you guys. 20 years later in Milwaukee, and I'm still all in. Still all in. As the worship team makes their way. Still all in. And I believe some were in at one time. And something took place. Someone stepped in on you, as the Word of God says. You were running a good race. Who stepped in on you? What stepped in on you? Because in this race and following Christ, there will be hard times. But there's hard times being lost and bound. So if I'm going to have to go through hard times, I want to be a blessed man through the process of my hard times. I want to be able to call upon God in my hard times. I want to be a leader in the hard times. I want to be the man that stands, and after standing, to stand some more, as the book of Ephesians says. A man that doesn't run under hard times, but a man that stands dressed in the full armor of God, to be an example that if I made it, anybody here can make it. I was a nobody just like everybody here this day. I was a nobody. Out of seven in our mom and dad and family, I was the least to succeed, and I'm the one they all call today. I was the black sheep of the family by far. But I allowed God to take what he wanted to take. And I allowed God to give me what he wanted to give me, that's come with a lot of responsibilities. And I call to you from my heart right now, speaking on behalf of the Lord as one of his ambassadors around the world, that we need you. You don't have to be perfect to help. You just got to be willing. You allow God to, through the process, to take what he needs to take from your life. But he ain't going to be able to take nothing if you come year after year to this church, sitting down, hearing the message, without responding to it in servanthood. And I know each and every one of you are good people. I know you are. But good people ain't good enough. We need servants. We need servants here in the church to get involved. Just like I did straight out of prison. It was the weirdest thing I did in my life, because I've never done none of that stuff. It was dumb. But it was the process that saved my life, that transformed my life, for God to use my life. I'm going to have you stand here on this beautiful Sunday. And I believe God is asking, sign the check. I just don't want to be savior of your life. I want to be Lord of your life. I want to lead you. I want to guide you to where you follow me in the good times, and that you follow me in the hard times. God is saying to us, I'm looking for a man. I'm looking for a woman, a young adult that's willing to be all in here this day with my plan. I'm going to open up the altars, whatever the song is, love. I shared my life with you to encourage you, to let you know that you too can do it. You don't have to be a superstar. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have a dollar in your pocket right now in answering the call of God and being all in. No matter what the cost, I will. Don't let this just be another altar call. Sign the open check. Sign it. I will answer the call. Sign your name at the bottom of that open check. I have heard the master calling. And let God put the price. Let God write down what he wants to take. All you got to do is sign the check here this morning.
I will answer the call.
All of you got gifts and talents.
I will answer the call.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Two masters.
I will follow you.
You can't serve two masters. God will never mislead you. But money will mislead you. Day to once again be all in.
The same God that spoke to me 25 years ago is the same God that is speaking right now. How will you respond? It's time to get involved. It's time to answer the call. It's time for others can follow you and be led to Christ. What you're going through hinder you in following Christ, but let what you're going through allow you to follow Christ. Purchase you. Oh, let him be Lord here this day of your life.